In those days, when there was going to be a circus coming into town, there was an announcer who preceded the circus. Let's say a week before the circus, a guy would come into town and make an announcement announcing that a circus is going to be coming next Sunday, and they're going to be performing, there's going to be a juggling act, and there's going to be an act of lions jumping through. In other words, he would describe the acts that were going to be done. Even though what this guy is saying is something enjoyable to listen to. In other words, you hear him describing the acts. That alone is an item of taiva to listen to. Still, that's not the comedian's act. In other words, the guy who introduces the comedian certainly is not the comedian. Sometimes he'll make a joke of some sort as introduction, but you know that he's a zero. He can't talk for a half hour like on the, the Wednesday Night Dead. He can't talk like these guys who can talk for an hour straight comedy where every word flows by them without any problem. And also, when a person comes into the room where they're going to have this comedy act put on, or this circus act, yeshom mitzuyar al hatabla kol hadvarim shiasu sham. Sometimes they have pictures there on the walls, pictures of a clown doing juggling, or whatever it is, pictures that relate to the act that's going to be performed. V'gamze ein hadovar biatzmai. That also is not the act itself. And even when a person comes already inside to the arena where the whole circus show is going on, you get one joker who stands up over there, and he apes, he mimics the real clown. And he mimics that which the real comedian is going to do. He puts on sort of an act, but yet you know it's nothing. It's just an ape. It's mimicking. And he mimics it, making fun and poking fun. That too is not the real thing. The ikar is the actual act of the comedian, or the actual circus performance that takes place. That's the real thing. So too, if you think into this a little bit, you'll be able to understand the analogy to Kiddusha. There are those whom it appears to them that they've entered inside, and some of them it appears to them that they've entered into the inner chamber. Whereas the person, if he looks at himself honestly, he understands that he's still standing way, way outside. He hasn't begun to go inside. Because he has not yet been zeichet to be masigel hasoga shel emes. And the tzaddik, who is very, very great, av kishe zeichet lahasig hasoga is gedolo shel hakdusha emes, even when he is zeichet to be masig, very exalted, hasavos of kedusha beemes, afal pikein einom nechshavim beinov leklum. Still, he doesn't consider this anything. He doesn't allow it to go to his head. He doesn't consider it anything great, anything special. He guards himself from the gaiva. That's the main thing. Rabbi Nazal explained before that. How do you get messed up in this? If you think you're something that you're not. If you forget what level you're on. But Itzarik HaGodel, he doesn't consider this anything. Legoidel Itzem HaKorosoyes Gedulas HaBoyreyes Borach. According to what he's trying to match up to, because he's always comparing himself to Hashem, this tzaddik, who has already left the rest of the world behind, he's gone infinitely higher and higher than the biggest rabbonim in that generation, the biggest scientists, the biggest thinkers, because of the fact that he doesn't look below him, he looks above him. He compares himself to Hashem because of his spectacular understanding of the greatness of Hashem. Compared to Hashem, he's always looking at himself like a nothing and a nobody, and like his hasava is nothing compared to kaviyachol the hasavas of Hashem. How came, therefore, who mishtadel umischazek b'chol pam? This tzaddik struggles and tries hard constantly on a constant basis. Sheyaschil Hashem yisborach laharis loy oyer hatorah. He struggles to try to get Hashem to open up to him, to show him the light of the Torah. As though he had not yet begun to start in the study of Torah, to be masig any act, any item of kedusha in his entire life. Baruch Hashem. And this is part of the Seid Kavonis Elul. This is the month of Elul that we're in, where Rabbeinu Zal says that part of doing tshuva, that the term tshuva means something, it's an eternal process. Tshuva is an eternal process. A Jew has to know that in Judaism there's no concept of stagnating. If a person on Wednesday is on the same level that he was on at Tuesday, he should know that that's a Yerida. He has gone down, because Wednesday is not supposed to be equal to Tuesday. Each day he must go to a higher and higher level in Avodas Hashem, in understanding of Hashem, which means in serving Hashem. And if he sees that's not the case, he has to beg Hashem, he has to cry to Hashem, and beg Hashem, and implore Hashem, Hashem, please help me be zeichet to start coming close to you, to start. Ekye, Ano Zeno Hashem, I want to begin serving you. And a person who takes that attitude in his spiritus, not an attitude bechlal in Avoida, that person is going to get to see, he's going to get to know that he doesn't know. And he's going to get to see a difference between what it means to know that you don't know versus majority of people, especially in this generation. This machla has affected the yeshivisha world in a tremendous level. You hear people bechlal, the expression of people is ich zol, or ich kler, or it appears to me. People are constantly saying their own Torahs. You see tremendous wandering away from quoting, telling over the Torah of a previous tzaddik. In other words, today the style, it's become stylish. It's become like you're not cool in the front world if you're telling over a Dvar Torah from a previous tzaddik without adding a shtickle of your own, that kind of thing. And I've seen it in the Hasidic world, and I saw Reb Kalman specifically, who we know to be a goyim. That term, Rebbe Zal used the term goyim about him. I heard him comment on this topic recently. I don't recall if it was this summer, or I think it was last summer. Not this summer that he spoke about it, but last summer. There was a certain item that ticked him off to start talking about this, and he commented about some of the people today who are writing Chidushei Torah and who are being looked at that kind of item, and he should know that that's not a normal level. In other words, that's something that's not a common item. It's not like if you've learned a few Masechtos or a few chapters of Likutei Moharan, you're in a position to be Mechadish. You have to be exceptionally, exceptionally careful. And let's say once you think you have it, you have to be at the minimum, barest minimum that you could do, is check it with a tzaddik, with one of them you think is on a level 3 mechadish, pass it by him and see how he reacts. See if he says that this is a kosher chiddush or not. You see, by Rebbe Zal, if you recall, he told us all the things that he thought, pshatim that he thought, and he said, I mentioned this to my Rosh Yeshiva, and he said, this is a real pshat. Why did Rebbe Zal say that? In saying that, he implied that there is this authorization, this requirement for authorization when it comes to chiddush Torah, based on this chapter on the Quran. This chapter addresses that topic tremendously. Now, you should know that no person, now who's in a position to knock somebody else's Chidush Torah? In other words, don't think that this Torah is a license to say that nobody can be Mechadish in Torah. Also, Barani, it means you know that Chidush Torah now is a high item. You know that you have to be careful in it, and you know that there are different levels. You know that you can't compare. A person says a chiddush, a person sees a style of Rabbeinu Zal or a style of Rav Moshe Zal, and a person uses that, applies that to anything on his own. Number one, that's a dangerous item, and number two, at least, the least we should do is not compare it, not say, well, oh, this, we can tear this in and make it a piece of Likutei Halachos, and it'll fit. You have to be careful with it. You have to be careful to remember that it's two different levels. At best, it's two different levels. Not, in other words, not to forget. Not, this is the whole concept, Kliya Hamadama. Madama means it looks the same. It tastes the same, looks the same. You have to know, are you smart enough to be able, in other words, do you know Likutei Halachos well? Do you know the Chidush Torah Amitim well enough to be able to distinguish between what's Chidush Torah Amitim and what's Chidush Torah from here, where you see he's saying here that to get to Chidush Torah Hechle Atmuros takes a tremendous avoida. That alone is big. Therefore, careful. What Rabbeinu Zal is saying here is careful, and he gives you the Eitzah. The Eitzah is right in this time. The Eitzah here is Anava. Belinda, the next week we're going to tack on a little piece to this, which is going to further clarify this and connect it to the next time we get around. The next time that ties together with this one is the Mefarshim Brahman.
Yeah, how's it? If somebody enters into something like this, he has to go through the Echol HaTumos.
Right.
Then how is it possible? Rabbeinu Zal said a lot of times, he said a chiddush when he was a child,
right?
And they said it's, and
The answer is obviously it's possible. In other words, number one, depending on it could be
other big tzaddikim, they were extremely young.
That's number one, extremely young. In other words, you know that there are exceptions of one who could be. That's number one, and number two, it could be that one chiddush. In other words, one item, a person, every person, Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelik. But each person has a chet. Yesh shishim ribu yoseis la'tayra. There's no question that each and every person has the same chelkeinu b'seira sech. When we say that, what do we mean? It means I have a chelik in the Torah that's mine. There is a piece that I'm mechuyev to be mechadish. And I have a piece in the Torah that nobody else has. But at the same time, it could be it's that one little dvar. And it could be if I say that one dvar and then I start going off on a path of being mechadish, it could be 99% of what I'm saying is from the same place. And with that, again, you see what he's saying here. There's a difference. It's difficult. You've got to be careful. And Rabbi Zal said that this item he said to them and they approved. Why bother saying that he said and they approved of it? Who cares if they approved? It's a chiddush. It sounds good. It's kosher. No. They approved of it, and that made it kosher at the time. Until he got to a level where he was given a smicha on the level where his Rabbeim wrote about him, Boki Bekol Chadre Torah. You know what that means? How did Rabbi Nizal start this? Yesh Chavrei Torah. On his smicha, it was written by one who was capable of saying, Boki Bekol Chavrei Torah, Beshas, Bavli, Yushomi, Sifrei Azoya, etc., etc. That's where he went. And when did he get that? At age 28. So therefore, when we saw him at age 50, and you heard him saying these things, this is where our test comes in. You forget that there was a difference in levels. He was billions of Magregas higher than us, than all of us put together. Billions of levels. And you hear Chiddush, you hear somebody else say Chiddush, sometimes you tend to forget, you better know caution. There are times when a person can be Zeicher. Rabbi, as I said, you can have a situation where a Talmud climbs up on the shoulders of his Rebbe and he can see further. The answer is you should know it's not because he's bigger. It's because he's mekusher to the Rebbe, certain things can come easier to him. Rav Nosson Zal was zecher to be able to present, the Rav Chaim Vital Zal was capable of presenting a kisvei Arizal. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal was zecher to be megala Torah. Rabbi Akiva wasn't. Rabbi Akiva wasn't a mekubal. He wrote the Oseis Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says who Rabbi Akiva was. And yet Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal was zecher to be megala much more than Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because he had a Rebbe like that, like Rabbi Akiva. And because he was zecher, the kesher was so good, Hashem sometimes works it out this way, that the Rebbe, Rabbi Nizal brings, is the seal. In a seal, you can't really see the light. When the seal gets put onto a piece of paper, you have a stamp with a name or a date, something. You look at the stamp, you can't read it. It's upside down. Sometimes it looks like gobbledygook. The stamp gets put on a piece of paper, it's clear, it's much easier to read and understand. That's the whole concept of a Rebbe Talmud. The Arizal of Chaim Vital Zal, all of these Ksharim, it's this concept of a Chosen. And that's what put them on a level of Kiddushim, and that's what gave them this gift. To know that this requires an authorization. This Torah, in other words, I don't think there's anything more to say about this. If you just listen to what's said here and look at the words, you're going to see that Rebbe Nizal covered this whole item from A to Z. He explained, he warned, he cautioned, and he told you what the answer is for. Hashem should help us be zecher to do this kind of tshuva every day, to want to go higher every day, to look at ourselves. Number one, we should each be zecher to look at ourselves and know who we are and what we are, and never think we're more than what we really are. And because of that, be zecher to constantly thirst to go higher and higher, to want more and more, and always mashmayim minar. Whenever you're comparing yourself in frumkeit, never compare yourself to the guy lower than you. Always pick somebody who's much, much, pick your Rebbe, compare to him and see how well you compare, and that alone will always remind you, it'll be a reminder if a person is zecha as to where he is and where, at what distance he has yet to go before he begins in entering into the Kiddusha.
The thing that even for the Torah that comes from the Hechel's Muris requires Avodah Sezegufim,
yes.
And that even sometimes the Torah from there is the Chiddush Ma'anayim.
Yes.
Is the thing that it still should not be said, or that, but if you say it, don't think that that's the true thing.
It's both.
So what are we wrong in?
Meaning, because if it comes from Hechel Atmuris, it's an item of Sitrachra. Hechel Atmuris is a mokim of the Sitrachra. The Sitrachra has a Chelik in the Torah. How could we say that? Where do we see a proof to that? Huh?
Tayyid
Mari, even more. No, Rabbi Zal gave an example. Eirech Yomin Bimina, Eirech Yomin Bimina, Ubismaira Isha Rechavim. It's brought that in the Torah there's two items. There's Eirech Yomin Bimina, Ubismaira Isha Rechavim. Where do we see this Yemen and Smile on the Torah? Rabbi Zal said that the Gemara says, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hanchil L'Chol Tzadik V'Tzadik Shai Olamais. There's going to come a time when each Avayi Tzadik is going to be zeichet to achieve Shai Olamais, 310 Olamais, through all of his Avayda. So the Tachlis is this Shai Olamais. The Sifrei Kabbalah bring that this Shai Olamais is split out into two factions, two forms. On the Yemin, on the right side, you have, what's the whole concept of Olam Haba, what's the Torah of Olam Haba called? Come on, wake up, finish. Let's go! Atika Stima, Soid, Roz, Secrets of Torah. That's the Torah of Olam Haba, the Torah of Atzilus, those things, secrets. Rabbi Zal said that in the Shai Olamos, it's the Sifrei Kabbalah ring. It's split out into two items. On the right side, you have Roz, the Secrets of Torah. What's the remainder? Roz is 207. Shai is composed of Roz plus Egel. Egel HaZohar. Egel, Ayin Gimel Lamed. The Egel HaZohar, which was an item of Tumah. It was made from Kiddush also. It took a plaque in which was written Alei Shor, Shemo Yisrael Hashem, used to compose the Egel. And that's the smile of Torah. And that's what Yaakov Avinu gave to Esav HaRosh. The Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu gave a mincha le'Esav. What's that? She gave him a mincha. Mincha is Begimatria Egel. He gave him this smile of the Torah. He had to. We put on a pair of tefillin today. Tefillin is Kisrei the Malka. You dare put on a pair of tefillin without giving a piece to Esau, you get your brains blown out. All the sockets go on you. All the fuses go on you. The Zohar Kodesh says that's why we have those hairs in the tefillin. That's the so'ir of Esau. The hair of Esau. To show that when you go to such high levels of Kiddusha, there must be a chayr given to Esau. Therefore, watch it. Be careful. Within the Shai, you have the Roz and you have the Egel. Now watch it. Now know how careful you have to be. Hashem should help us be zeicha to become the Kura and the Kush of Emes to the Tzadikim Amitiyim, who are zeicha to this Biru HaMadameh, who are zeicha to this level of Aveda. This answers your question. Knows you should know that it's not just the clock. It's not just watching the clock and getting up at the same time. The difference, Rav Enizal brings in the Torah, that the difference between an Erlech Yid and another person, they walk in the street, at times it looks the same to you, and it's billions of times difference. Eretz Yisrael looks like, you walk there, Begashmias, sometimes it looks like any other land, sand, dirt, pebble, and yet it's totally, totally different. You have to know that when you look at a tzaddik who does the same way, that you hear about another guy, a kid who does the same, or who's getting up there, you know it's not the same. Not that it's nothing. You get any person who wakes up, any person who goes to the mikvah, wakes up, does these avodas, it's something. But know that it's, don't compare. Because the tzaddik is usually the one who has already gone way, way past this level of hechli atmos. He's way, way into the chadrei Torah, and this youth that you're looking at, or other ones, could be that he hasn't even gotten into the Hechli HaTmoris yet. And what you see him doing is mimicking in a sense, but it's not really the same thing. Therefore, be careful how you make comparisons.
This doesn't imply
that
like a one-year person learning from Kipper. But
the answer is again, you see here that we're not saying his learning is in Kipper, you understand? In other words, we're saying that factually this is part of the process of coming close to Hashem, that you must go through this stage. But now, in other words, the question is, here's the distinguishing factor. If while you're in this state, you begin to think that you've made it, and you're capable of seeing the Torah, well then, chas v'shalom, your Torah can give koyach to the klipa, chas v'shalom.
I'm just asking, like, just plain ordinary learning. I mean, is it just exclusively talking about a Falcon writing a Sefer, or is it talking about... No, even a regular learning, a person learning Torah, and he sees Chidushim there. In other words, he sees things besides what's written in whatever Sefer he's learning. He thinks of a pshat on his own, which he didn't see written in the Sefer. You understand?
That's what he's referring to.
What if he doesn't? It's just learning.
Just learning. You avoid this risk completely. This title specifically would not apply generally. Although Rav Enizal in other places discusses that even within learning, it has to be done with a certain purity. There are certain halachas that apply. You're not allowed to learn at the time that you have to go to the bathroom. Why? Because it's possible, even at the time of learning, that the learning could bring koyach to damage. Chas v'shalom. A person learns a certain wrong way. He learns for the sake of kavod. He learns chas v'shalom for the purpose of finding. He wants to learn Torah to be able to disprove the Torah. Chas v'shalom. His learning, he would be much better off not learning.